Evening, John.
Good evening, Greg.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm going to get some steps in while you're talking.
My man.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. It's late for me, isn't it? Past my bedtime.
Yeah. That's why I only do this once a month.
Yeah. I couldn't be doing more than that.
Am I the only one here so far?
No, there's more coming in. Hey,
Okay.
Chaz.
Hey, Greg.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good to see you getting your steps in as well.
Yep.
George. Always a pleasure, brother.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm all right.
Always good
How
to
are
see
you?
you too.
You too, my man. Hey, Paul, how are you?
Perfectly well, thank you for asking. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. While we're on, anyone got any wins for the week? Anything particularly cool that happened? Any goals hit? I know John's been smashing fat loss. He's doing great.
And I found out that I've got another 12 pounds to go.
Hey, Lewis.
Hello.
What's happening?
I managed to get here. It's
Good.
a busy day.
How's the shoulder feeling?
And actually, I wrote you about it a little bit. There's a little bit going on that's I'm not too happy with, but I had a couple of workouts with kettlebell stuff that I was doing with clients, and I had to like ease up on everything. But I went on my own to the gym in between and sort of like worked it out, but it still feels like there's a knot there. So I don't know. See what I can do.
Gym wise, though, like all the movements that we're doing feel okay, or is there still like some with pressing movements?
Well, and I mean the one thing that I did that, I was trying to end up like adapting instead of doing pull-ups, and that seemed to basically be what set it off. I brought my elbow in this way and it's like, but we'll see.
So maybe just nothing overhead for
I
the time being.
got a
Even
couple of days to not do anything at this point, so all lower stuff for the next 2 days, so should be good.
Okay. We'll give
I'll talk
everyone else
to you about
another
it on
minute.
Monday.
We'll give everyone else another minute, otherwise we'll get started, guys. Before
Oh,
we
Greg, one win. I use the same weight on the left side as I did on the right today on my single arm lat pull downs.
My man, see, coming together. So John just came back from shoulder surgery. So we're going through that rehab stage. He's doing really well, hitting targets. So a nice stage for him to go through fat loss. Do you want to tell anyone your experience? I know you used a little bit of like the peptide BPC 157. Any of your experiences with that?
So, we had talked about using BPC 157 before we found out that I was going to have surgery, so we waited till after surgery. And it really did reduce the pain, and I think it's really helped me get to full range much quicker than I would have otherwise.
Oh, man, it's great. So, like, BPC is one of those ones that either works really, really well or just doesn't really do anything for a lot of people. So, it's hard to predict, but nice to see it's worked really well for you. Actually, let me get what I'm gonna bring up. This is what I get for having so many different feckin' tabs open at the same time. I think I know what everyone's for, but I never do. Tonight we're going to go through methods for recovery. So not necessarily going to go through hacks. I'm not going to go through some of like the stuff like barrier like oxygen chambers or anything like that. But we are going to go through some of the stuff like light or not light and cold and heat exposure, and we'll go through the benefits of sleep in terms of recovery. Does anybody here currently suffer with sleep disturbances or inability to be able to sleep effectively? Jazz? Yeah, I know you do, Austin. So we'll go through methods that we can use in order to increase sleep quality, but we'll also touch on some of the stuff in regards to what actually affects, like what poor sleep, what effects it has actually on recovery as well. Because a lot of the time we're thinking about, we're trying to balance the amount of training we do with our ability to be able to recover. And a lot of time we look for fancy esoteric methods to do so. So people will start looking at whether that's supplementation, different dietary approaches, when really sleep is the biggest lever that the vast majority of us can pull in order to get the most benefit from the training that we're doing. Like, I mean, unless you're doing excessive amounts of high intensity training, very few of us should be at that stage of overtraining, to the fact where we're getting weaker, unless there's some sort of injury there. So looking at sleep as our major priority can be a really, really cool way, and not just for recovery. When we look at other things beyond that, whether we're looking at overall health, which we'll touch on a little bit now, also seems to play, sleep also seems to play a really, really big role in a lot of those things. So let's go. So we're going to look at sleep and recovery hacks. Like I said, we'll touch on the science of sleep a little bit just so you guys understand why this stuff is so important. And then we'll get into some methods that you can use straight away to improve sleep quality. We'll look at why it's so important. What can affect our sleep? I'll touch on that as we go through this. So some of the major compounders towards sleep can be stuff that we'll touch on, like flipped circadian rhythm. Poor blood sugar regulation is a major one there. We'll talk about how we can fix our sleep, and then we'll talk about other methods for recovery, and then kind of how you guys can put this all together into a proper plan. When we look at the importance of sleep, everyone just thinks about the recovery side of things, but it does so much more than that. It does so much more than that. We can think about like the musculoskeletal system, so like supports muscle repair and growth hormone. That's why most of you guys are here. You guys want to drop body fat, you want to gain muscle, and sleep is one of the major supporting systems within that. We can look at like hormone regulation. It releases growth hormone when we get into deep sleep. It regulates testosterone. So if people who go through one night of sleep deprivation, testosterone levels drop by 20%. Most of you guys would kill for an extra 20% of testosterone, but you don't pr always prioritize this as the way to achieve that. But even when we think of like learning processes, right? When we go into REM sleep, so that random eye movement part of sleep where we get quite vivid dreams, that's where we consolidate the memories or the things that we've learned throughout the day. Most of us, if not all of us in this room, make our money with our brains. So being able to consolidate things that we learn from the day is really, really important. Even if you sit down to study, you don't consolidate that into long-term memory within that study process. You do it when you sleep. We can look at insulin sensitivity and appetite regulation. This is one of the major ones for you guys. When we look at sleep, those who sleep less than 6 hours a night tend to eat an extra 500 calories a day, comparable to those who sleep eight. Now, people will often say, well, that's because they're awake for longer. It doesn't seem to be the case. It seems that appetite regulation seems to go quite dramatically. So stuff like leptin drops, ghrelin goes up. So like the drive for hyper palatable foods goes up quite dramatically when we don't sleep correctly. And there's like fascinating research out there when you get people and you completely flip their circadian rhythms. So if you get people who normally eat in the daytime and sleep at night, and you flip that, then you find that they can become insulin resistant type 2 diabetic really quickly, even on the same caloric intake. So sleep regulates so much more than just our ability to be able to recover from activity. But all of this stuff, this is consider this as more holistic approach because all of these different things regulate your ability to be able to perform in the gym. So like even like immune function, like it boosts immune function, reduces inflammation. That's a key marker there. Like when you look at people who don't sleep particularly well, they're far more inclined to come down with stuff like colds and flus. HRV, so cardiovascular health, heart rate variability is a clear predictor of our ability to recover. And HRV drops when we don't sleep correctly. Emotional regulation, cellular repair, all these other things. So there's such a wide variety of things that can benefit us if we sleep correctly. And I'll talk about what correctly is as we go through this. And then we can look briefly at some of the more acute things that tend to happen where if without sleep. So like I always think of the symptoms similar to ADHD. So our ability to be able to focus on a particular task will drop dramatically if we don't sleep. Memory lapses, impaired moral judgment, which is an interesting one, cognitive impairment, irritability, all these things seem to increase if we don't sleep well. So take it seriously. Now, this is some of the research out there. Just some of this I thought you guys might find interesting. Like, so you're 12 times more likely to crash your car if you sleep for less than 5 hours. Okay? Blood pressure goes up. Your 55 or your 55% increased risk of obesity if you don't sleep correctly. Now, and also when people go into a caloric deficit, so any of you guys who are on a dieting phase right now, when you sleep 5.5 hours per night, the majority of that comes from muscle mass when we lose weight. So 55% less fat and 60% more lean muscle mass, less lean muscle mass compared to those who sleep 8.5 hours a night. That's dramatic. And then I love, and some of the statistics from sport are wild. Like, so they checked NBA players to see what would happen for those who slept less than 8 hours compared to those who slept 8 or more. And 12% more minutes played, 29% increase in points per minute, 2% increase in 3-point percentage, and 9% increase in free throws. And those who didn't sleep that well, they had 30% increase in turnovers, 45% increase in fouls committed. That's the difference between a contract. That's the difference between you being in the NBA and out just on your ability to be able to sleep correctly. And they also did like all this research on guys who posted on Instagram between 11 and 7. So they noticed that they were up throughout the night. That wasn't even sleep length. That was associated with the times that you should be sleeping. And you saw a lot of these same statistics. So it's not just our ability to be able to recover from training. It's our ability to not get sick. It's our cardiovascular health. It's our ability not to crash our car. It's our ability to lose fat instead of muscle while we diet. It's a lot of stuff. And I'll touch on this quickly. Our ability to sleep is based off something called our circadian rhythm. It's our own internal clock that's based off light exposure. So we should have slightly elevated cortisol in the morning to kick us up the ass, get us out of bed, and get us moving. That should drop throughout the day. And melatonin should slowly increase as the day goes on, to make us tired at night. What you find a lot of people is this circadian rhythm has flipped somewhat. So they have low cortisol in the morning and they have higher cortisol at night. So they're exhausted in the morning, wired and tired at night. I don't know if any of you guys experience that. I know when I don't eat correctly, maybe if I drink alcohol, these things, that tends to be the way I present. If I don't eat particularly well as well, that tends to happen to me. But guys who have been on, who've worked night shifts for a long time and are trying to correct that, like dysregulated circadian rhythm is a really common thing. Now, our circadian rhythm, our internal circadian rhythm runs off a 24-hour clock plus 15 minutes. This is going to make sense to you guys once we go into things that we can do to improve sleep. But the way we can track it to exactly 24 hours, as you can see in this left picture, is through light exposure. Light exposure regulates our internal clock and tells us when we should be awake and doing stuff and when it should be time to rest. Have any of you guys ever been in like a cabin in the woods, right? Where it's true darkness, where like I'm in a city, so there's always street lights. But when you're exposed to true darkness, I mean, George, you'll probably remember this in Costa Rica, when the sun goes down, like it's so dark that you just instantly begin to get tired. That's your internal clock telling you it's sleep time. That's the production of melatonin. Where there's a lot of us guys at nighttime when we're at home, we're sat in front of a television, sat in front of a phone, sat in front of a laptop. And that is not conducive to good sleep. Now, before we go on to the next bit, I wanted to ask you guys, who here actually has a nighttime routine? And if you're willing to share it.
I do.
Go ahead, Jeff.
It's not anything extravagant, but I'll usually spend a little bit of time at the piano, and then I'll do some mobility stuff and some prayer, and then get in bed.
So, a really effective way to down regulate his nervous system. So something that I assume, and correct me here, Jeff, you wouldn't be trying to learn something new on the piano at night. Would this be something that you use just to relax yourself?
Yeah, I'm not playing anything crazy late at night or learning anything difficult. It's usually just more either improvising or easier to play slower pieces.
Yeah, and that's a great way to disassociate from the day. So he's down regulating his nervous system. He's doing something that he enjoys, but also something that's relaxing. And then he'll move into something else that helps him calm down, which is stretching. And then finishing off the evening with prayer is finding connection and gratitude before he sleeps. I think that's a really cool way to end a day and prepare yourself for sleep. When like who has kids in the room? Yeah, right. How do you when they're young, how did you put them to bed? Well, I'm assuming you didn't just drag them by the scruff of the neck, drag them up the stairs, throw them into bed, and say, sleep now. Right? It was a pattern. It was okay. Now television's off. Now we have a bath. Now we brush our teeth. Now we read a story. And it was all just this down regulation as time went on. And then it was time to sleep. Now that we're adults, we basically grab ourselves by the scruff of the neck away from television and throw ourselves in bed and expect ourselves to sleep. Doesn't work. So having nighttime routines, even as adults, is really effective. So anyone else want to share their nighttime routine? Jeff, I love that one. No?
I mean, I'll go. I think it's not dissimilar. It's usually like first get the kids to do their nighttime routine, which is like take your shower, brush your teeth, and then the deal is they get to go to their room and like read while I take a shower, and then go tuck them in, say goodnight. Sometimes, usually, we'll sit with them for a little bit, and just kind of chat with them on anything else that's remaining on their mind, and then go to bed, breathe a little bit, prayer, and then try to go to bed. So
Yeah, I
yeah.
think prayer is one of those things that like we don't hear much in the UK, but like I think the Americans or the guys over that side of the pond tend to have it down because that connection and gratitude is strongly associated with down regulation of your nervous system. So it's putting yourself anything that puts yourself in the moment without it being stressful. Like, so like squatting is putting yourself in the moment, but not necessarily what you're trying to achieve at that time of night. Anything like breath work or whatever it is that puts yourself in the moment away from your troubles is really effective. And prayer is one thing that seems to do that for a lot of people. I'll show you kind of what mine looks like. Now, it's not exactly this way, and it does, as you all know, it never really works out as you plan, but this is how I try to deliver on most of my evenings. So when I'm trying to correct sleep in clients, I normally have a method or a way I'll go through it. I'll normally start with the night for them. Most people don't have effective evening routines. Like creating a nighttime routine is the first step I will take with people. Like, so I'll always think I'm trying to eat my last meal be 3 hours before bed. Right. So this is trying to correct circadian rhythm in terms of food. Food shouldn't really be, there shouldn't be a dramatic amount of food sitting in the stomach or the small intestine while we're trying to sleep. So if we're trying to digest food, that can offset melatonin. I think probably for most of you, the digital wind down is the most effective or the biggest change that most people can make. Most people are just stuck in front of a screen late at night. Now, blue light blocking glasses can be helpful, but most of the time what we're doing is stressful when we're on. Like when you're getting exposed to stuff on social media, whether you're watching the news on television, whatever it is, or you're doing work, it can be relatively stressful. Then I'll think of something that will calm me down. And that can be loads of different things. Sometimes I do contrast showers, not that keen on doing cold at night, I'm not gonna lie. But I'll do generally some sort of breath work before I go to bed. And I do supplements sometimes at night. I don't use CBD. Only be the reason why I don't use CBD, not necessarily anything against it, it gives me really weird dreams. But I do use melatonin as well in that circumstance. So I'll try to play on different neurotransmitters in that circumstance. I'll use magnesium to kind of, it also like magnesium helps, first of all, relax the nervous system. But secondly, magnesium is responsible for an enzyme called COMT. That breaks down our neuro some of our neurotransmitters like dopamine or epinephrine or adrenaline for you guys. So that's why it can help relax the brain as well. And then there's obviously other stuff, L-theanine, apigenin, chamomile tea, glycine, whatever you want to use in those circumstances. Our circadian rhythm adores consistency. So it's eating at the same time, sleeping at the same time, training at the same time, doing things consistently allows for a much better sleep quality. It's not always possible, I understand that, but it's setting some non-negotiables within this. So, like digital wind down, once my kids go to bed, kid goes to bed at 8, I don't put myself in front of a screen again. I'll find something else to do. Sometimes because he can be a nightmare with sleep. Sometimes I'll just go to bed. I'll do my other stuff and then just go to bed in that circumstance. But finding something else that you can do, whether that's prayer, whether it's meditation, whether it's reading, whether it's piano, I think the piano's a cool one. I think that's a really effective way to create an evening routine and help you to unwind. Now, before I go to the next bit. Does anybody have a morning routine?
A bit of one.
Go on.
Well, pretty much first thing, it's just drink water and then take the dogs out for a 20, 30-minute walk. And that's pretty much the extent of it. Usually when I get back is when I'll eat, but then it's usually jumping into my work day from there.
Okay. So sun exposure first thing in the morning, good sign. General activity first thing in the morning is also a good sign. Anybody else?
I've been using a meditation app that has a wake up 5 minute meditation thing just to get things moving out of bed. I'll be doing some mobilization of the feet, some stretching, and then I try to get a 5,000 steps in before breakfast.
Nice. So sun exposure first thing in the morning. So we know that people who struggle with sleep, the nighttime might be a problem, but the morning is often a problem for a lot of people as well. So that's where I'll go next with a lot of people. So if they circadian rhythm is a little bit flipped and they're not producing cortisol in the morning like they should, we can affect that. So we can affect both the circadian rhythm and cortisol first thing in the morning. And normally, how I would have tried and approach that with people. Oops. I would first start with, oops, I would first start with natural light exposure. This will signal to that super charismatic nucleus within the brain to start your biological day. So this is telling your body that it is now morning time. And this can start to correct some of those flipped circadian rhythms in people. The grounding side of things, the research isn't as clear, but I find a lot of people that get a lot of benefit from grounding their feet on the floor while they do that. So it's something that I do, like if someone can step into their back into their yard and there's grass there, it's a good way to connect with the electromagnetic frequency of the earth. And there is some research out there that shows it can reduce inflammation. It can also lower symptoms of anxiety and depression. So there's definitely something there. And then you can think of doing 5 minutes of vigorous movement. This will increase cortisol first thing in the morning. And that's a really, really effective way to get a day started. It doesn't have to be anything wild, right? So, like, I don't even mean 5 minutes. I mean, like, 1 minute of, I don't know why you pick it, but like 1 minute of burpees, for example. Like, if you go for a walk, at the end of that walk, just doing a quick run home. And then waiting 60 to 90 minutes before caffeine if you can. We need to get rid of any sort of sleep debt that's been accumulated. So using stimulants will block that, especially caffeine. And then I normally have my first meal, which will be protein and fat-based. I'll do that within normally within an hour to 2 hours of waking. And I find that a really effective way to like our, there's something called chrononutrition, which is actually gaining a lot of research behind it that we should eat in accordance with our circadian rhythm. And in the morning, we tend to respond better to protein, fats, and vegetables in that circumstance. High amounts of carbohydrates can dysregulate blood sugar, but also can lower cortisol, which we're not looking to do at that time. Not to say you can't have any carbs, right? But base it predominantly around protein and fat. This is a super duper. I put it in here anyway, but it's a super, super aggressive way to correct sleep disturbances in people. It's called a sleep spread. It has loads of research behind it on how effective it is, but I wouldn't want to do it. I've never given it to anybody because I haven't had the heart to. But with a sleep spread, if someone goes to bed at 11 and they wake up at 3, that's the first time they wake up. No matter what, they have to get out of bed and they have to stay awake for the entire day until the next night. And then if they go to bed at 11 and they wake up at 3:30, then the next night they can go to bed at 10:30, wake up at 3:30, and you spread the evening out in that way. It's supposed to be very, very effective for stuff even like insomnia. So this is a truly science-based effective way to correct sleep disturbances. Wouldn't necessarily try it myself, but it's out there. Now, moving on to other things that we can use for recovery. Sauna, I'm really slow on the uptake with new modalities that come into the fitness industry. Like I've seen it all come and go, man. The next supplement that comes out, the next thing that boosts testosterone, blah, 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 blah. I normally wait until there's loads of research on it, then maybe I'll try it. But with sauna, the research is pretty clear. Hormetic effects on our body are super effective at making us more robust. So, like exposing yourself to heat, exposing yourself to cold are like a mini trauma, but they're your body's ability to be able to recover from that and then become stronger is really prominent. So, if you look at like stuff like sauna, helps increase circulation, delivering more oxygen and nutrients to muscles. I think that's a big one for sauna. The increased circulation, especially for guys out here who have like history of high blood pressure or any of those cardiovascular risks, the blood flow advantage from using heat exposure is brilliant. Reduce muscle soreness, hormonal response, heat shock proteins, ooh, they repair cells and reduce inflammation. I think that's pretty significant. And then like the mood enhancing effects of it and our perception of pain tends to drop when we use stuff like this. And the research is getting pretty clear on it. Like in a lot of different sports, the use of this really, really helps. them to be able to repeat the same effort again the next day. So like post-exercise sauna bathing for 3 weeks increased running endurance by 32% in trained distance runners. That's really significant. Now, there's some research out there that shows it doesn't have an effect. There was a couple of studies I found that actually it shows it might have detrimental, but for the most part, sauna seems to accelerate muscle strength and recovery. So heat exposure is a really, really cool method. Does anyone here use saunas regularly? Yeah. Do you notice the benefit?
Yeah, I got a sauna about 6 weeks ago, and I use it probably 5 nights a week.
Do you notice it helps with sleep by any chance?
It has improved. I still have issues, it's improved a bit. I feel better as far as soreness and that kind of thing too.
That's good news.
So I've liked it. Yeah.
Nice. So there is a lot to be said for rotating between heat and cold at night in order to induce sleep. Obviously, finishing on hot, don't finish on cold. And then that drop in temperature after you expose yourself to heat can help with sleep quite well. Does anybody do cold exposure? Yeah, John?
I do it in the shower.
Yeah. George, I know you do.
I do waking every morning, I go straight for a cold shower. Because the sauna I leak too much energy from, but the cold exposure I don't. It's the actual
Cold.
opposite effect.
Yeah, cold exposure is cool in the sense that it increases epinephrine and without increasing cortisol, which is interesting. So it doesn't really increase the stress hormone cortisol, which maybe you might want in the morning if you have low cortisol. I wouldn't think that's your problem, George. But it increases epinephrine and dopamine really, really well. And actually, comparable to other things that increase dopamine, like if you take tyrosine or even like medications that increase dopamine, you normally get a drop afterwards. With something like cold exposure, it increases dopamine really gradually, and then it comes back to baseline, which most stuff that stimulates dopamine doesn't do. Normally, you end up with a lower baseline than you did initially when you use those kind of things. So, yeah, cold exposure is really cool for that. But also, you'll see that it's quite good for recovery as well. Probably not, it's worth noting, probably not useful directly after a training session. There does seem to be an incidence that it actually can slow down recovery if you use it straight after. Now, I know it mentions here vasoconstriction. It does vasoconstrict initially, but then eventually it allows for a vasodilation. So it allows your blood flow to increase, which can be really helpful for people, especially how people have poor blood flow to the extremities. If anybody's ever done cold exposure, like I used to get poor circulation in my feet a little bit. And if I used to get into cold, man, the pain I used to get around my ankles because of that vasoconstriction was pronounced. But after a while, it did break. Now, for you guys who, if you're thinking about doing cold exposure, it's great for symptoms, it's great for mood. There's some information that it may increase fat loss a tiny bit, but it does a lot of really cool things, cold exposure. Now, again, it's a hormetic thing. So you don't want to start really strong on cold exposure. You want to move into this slowly, like using a cold shower, or using a lukewarm shower, and then consistently increasing to something like ice baths if you want to try them. Ice baths are a challenge. But generally the feeling once you get out of them is amazing. So definitely something worth noting. And the research as well is quite clear on this and its positive effects. So like even if you notice like lowers levels of, I should say, creatine kinase and lactate dehydrogenase, these are markers of muscle damage. It increases brown fat, which isn't a bad thing. Brown fat is really metabolically active, immune support, like forever have this battle with my mother-in-law. She's like, cold makes you sick. No, it doesn't. Cold does not make you sick. Too much cold can dampen your immune response, or too much all at once. But it's actually quite immune stimulating when you expose yourself to cold quite regularly. So look at it in that way. And actually, you'd be surprised, it actually promotes parasympathetic tone. So it actually helps you relax and rest and digest. So there's lots and lots of benefits in regards to recovery here. So that's me done in terms of talking. Do you guys have any questions on, like, if you're thinking about other sorts of training or recovery modalities that you've tried, anything that you're interested in knowing about? I don't know a lot about some of the more the newer methods, but if you guys have any questions, fire away. If you don't have any questions on that stuff, is there anything that you want to bring up and talk about? We've got time. So if there's anything in particular you guys want to discuss, anything that has been on mind, anything you want the clarity on?
Sorry, Greg.
Yes.
Sleeping. So I pretty much try that 3-2-1 method, no food 3 hours before, no water 2 hours or liquids 2 hours before, and then no tech 1 hour before. Apart from that, like, life does get in the way. So, you might have a later meal than usual, you might have one drink. I have a drink like maybe once every 3 months. So it's very rare. But what I always find is I have a cold shower just before I get into bed. And for me in my climate, it works, right? And that really helps with my body to regulate me down into the system very quickly, especially if I've gone out on a weekend and had food that I don't traditionally have. And then it gets asleep back into the pattern quickly.
That's interesting because, like, acutely, like, cold is stimulating. It does relax you eventually, but it's why normally if you do people do contrast, they only finish on heat. But if it helps you, that's quite interesting. Now, it could just be because you live in the boiling hot Australia. But it's interesting to know that. Like, some people do respond well to cold exposure, so that's interesting. Anybody else have any questions?
I just have a comment. Being in warmer temperatures during the winter months, I tend to end up like going out for like night swims when the temperature has dropped, and there's also, and so like I'll get out and I'll be chilled and that kind of thing. It's not an immense difference in terms of temperature, but it can be as much as 10 or 15 degrees from what it was during the day. And I find that that really, it immediately ends up like lowering my level of anxiety, number one, but also feeling like it's sort of like taking a warm bath but in reverse. It's got that thing of just being kind of like in a space where you get out and suddenly you're a bit chilled, but it ends up like creating, I had a sauna previously in the house that I was in before. And that was something that I regularly used during the winter months in order to, try and basically get temperature, my body temperature back above what it was in the house kind of thing. And that also worked. But I just find that like during the summertime, even up north, I will end up like going in to the pool at night, or I'll go down to, after they've closed the beach, I'll go down and take a night swim, where the temperature will be like 15 to 20 degrees cooler than what the air is, saying. So, yeah,
No, that's cool.
just a,
No, I'm glad it works.
yeah, and it works.
No, that's great news. Yeah, anybody else have any experience with that? No? Any more questions? You good? Okay, gents. I'll finish up there if no one has any questions. Hope you guys have a lovely rest of your Wednesday, and I'll see you all soon.